Greetings, programs, and welcome to Quarks and Recreation. I'm your co-host, Doug.
And I'm your other co-host, Brandon.
And this week on Quarks and Recreation, we're covering pseudoscience. Pseudoscience isn't real science, of course. These are all kinds of things that people believe that are just not founded in anything, and yet they seem to persist. There's tons of people out there that swear by this stuff, but none of these topics fit true science because they're not repeatable, they're not verified. You're nodding your head, Brandon. I think there's something you're going to add.
Yeah, I was going to say that we're not telling you about Sudoku.
Pseudoscience.
Pseudo, not Sudoku or Sudoku. I don't know how to say it.
So pseudo is a Latin phrase, and it means sort of, but not really. So when you say pseudoscience, it looks like science, but it's not
sort of science.
But it's not science at all. It just appears to be science, and some of these things. Were very widely held beliefs. Some of them are still, people, you know, buy into this stuff today, but none of it's true. And in fact, some of it is dangerous because people believe in this stuff rather than real science, and they're, you know, they could be putting their health at risk. So, without further ado, what I decided to do is do this in a very unscientific way. I have a list of 17 different pseudoscience topics in front of me. I haven't told Brandon what order I've put them in, so I'm going to have Brandon simply just pick numbers out of the air, and we'll go talk about these things one by one.
The last time someone didn't tell me the order, I just want to say that I got behind the wheel and it did not go pretty.
Okay.
So please, just be careful, I'm just saying.
I'm saying, you were behind the wheel?
I was behind the wheel.
Of what?
Fortune.
Oh.
I went to a Chinese restaurant, had a fortune cookie, and I imagined I was behind a wheel.
Okay.
So just be careful.
So you're a little young for driving. Yeah. All right, so pick a number between 1 and 17, Brandon.
Well, I'm 12.
So, all right.
Yeah.
12. Oh, 12. So number 12 is mediums. These are people that claim to be able to talk to the dead.
So you're like ghost whisperer, horse whisperer.
Well, horse whisperers whisper to living horses, so at least there's something there.
What if a ghost horse?
Ooh, good point. So what mediums do, sometimes they have these guys on TV, right, and they have a big group of people, and they say something like, ooh, I'm getting a vibration from the beyond. Is there anyone here who has a dead relative who's with a name that begins with the letter M? And someone will invariably go,
Moby.
Yes. Yes, I do. I have this person, they were very close to you. Yes, they were. And it's a technique called cold reading.
How do you know that? Like, how do you know that that person with the M is close to that person with the W and they were brother and sister in a different life?
They don't know. But what they do know is they have a large room full of people and they're playing the odds. They're just thinking, well, M is a very common letter of the alphabet. And most people would know somebody who died. And what you do is you start general and you eventually get specific. So if I say, does somebody here know someone who died? Someone will say yes. And I'm going to assume that person was close to them. And they say, so-and-so doesn't want you to worry about money. And then they'll go, oh my God, I've been worried about money. Well, everyone's worried about money. People are always worried about money, relationships, their health. So they play on these fears, and they start with just big, broad guesses and work their way down to the specifics.
So, yes, Bill Gates, we know you are worried about money.
Right. Even Bill Gates is going to say, yes, someone's worried about money. So all of it is a trick. It's a parlor trick. You can do it to anyone. And, in fact, there's a very funny South Park right on that topic. Okay, so I think that covers mediums. Pick another number.
Let's go 8, because my little brother's 8.
Ooh, 8. So this is astrology.
Astrology. That star is green and that star is yellow.
Not quite.
Oh.
So astrology is, you ever heard the phrase, what's your sign?
No.
Okay, so there are
12. Or like.
No, this is like, you ever heard, so-and-so is a Pisces or they're a Virgo based on when they were born?
Oh, yeah, like the Chinese, like, you're a dragon. Or.
Well, that's a different one, actually. That's a different astrology called the Year of the Dragon. So what astrology says is, depending on when you were born, there are 12 constellations that make up the zodiac are all in the same plane as the Earth. So depending on where the Earth is, the Sun is in the middle of one of those constellations. So, for example, I'm a Pisces. So when I was born, the Sun was in the constellation Pisces. And supposedly, that has an impact on my personality and my behavior.
You know who made this up?
No, it's been around for a million years.
Because the guy or group, they probably killed themselves the next day.
You don't know that.
They were probably, maybe that was their fortune, because that's what the stars told them to do.
That's exactly the idea. It's the idea that the position of the stars and the planets affects your personality and your behavior. And it's, people believe this stuff all over the world. In fact, every newspaper in America, you'll find a horoscope, which is it'll say, for every day, it'll say, oh, well, you're a Pisces? Well, then today you're going to meet re-encounter an old friend who's going to come to you with a mystery. And then you're going to pull up a horoscope from a different newspaper, and it's going to say, that old friend you're never going to see again. They're not going to be in any way consistent from place to place. So,
people,
what do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
What I think is, I know that you guys can't see it, but Doug can see it. Cuckoo.
Okay. There's no basis for it. And the point to all of these pseudoscience things is that you have to be able to prove it. Now, if this was true, that would mean everybody that had the same birthday as me, or even the same birth month as me, would have the same personality. So that's 1/12 of the planet all acting roughly the same way.
What month were you born?
March.
March. Okay, so if you were born in if some guy was born in March, you guys both... I can't explain this, I'm sorry.
We're all going to be the same. We're all going to be artistic-minded.
You both are experts on, like, science. You both hate steak, but you guys both love chicken. It's just...
Yeah. There's no way that 1/12 of the planet all behaves the same way. Plus, this is based on the constellations and where they are, but we made up the constellations. We just invented the constellations because people looked at stars in the sky and went, hey, that kind of looks like a dragon, or hey, that kind of looks like a lady holding a pair of scales.
There's a kid that I know. We're both born in August, a few days apart.
Mm-hmm.
We're absolute enemies.
Yeah, you're nothing alike, right?
Nothing alike.
Yeah, no, there's no, and it's totally inconsistent. And that's the important thing about science is, science is the same everywhere you go. Can you imagine, you know, if math problems on the West Coast worked out to be different, you get a different answer than if you did that same problem on the East Coast.
It's because of the way the Earth is lined with the Sun.
Right. So, yeah, none of that is true. All right, cool. That does it for astrology. Pick another number.
5, your old sister.
5, alchemy. Ooh, alchemy. Okay, so alchemy is an ancient... this is an ancient one. No one really believes in this one anymore, but I think it's kind of cool, so I put it on the list. This is... people believe that they could transmute materials. They would change lead into gold. Now, it turns out you can change lead into gold, but not with chemical reactions, because lead... Think of it this way. Lead is an atom, right? There are lead atoms, and there are gold atoms. Now, you can split apart an atom. You can fuse atoms into other atoms with nuclear reactions. You can do that. But with chemical reactions, you can't. All your chemical reactions are like... Okay, picture... Assuming atoms were Legos. You like Legos, right?
Well, yeah. Okay. They're okay.
So, like, some Legos, they're going to be... they're going to have 2 bumps, and they're going to be fat ones. And some of them are going to have 6 bumps, and they're going to be thin ones.
Yeah.
And you can put them together and take them apart in different ways. Right, but you're not going to change the individual pieces, right? That 6 is going to be a 6, the 2 is going to be a 2 forever, right? That's a chemical reaction. In chemical reactions, you're taking the different atoms and taking them apart and recombining them in different ways. With a nuclear reaction, that would be like melting them down and squishing them together at their core. That's a nuclear reaction. So, yes, alchemy is possible with nuclear reactions, not with chemical reactions, the way people used to try to do. So, that'll do it for alchemy. Another number, please.
I'm going to go 34.
We don't have 34, so pick a smaller number.
17 plus 17 is 34, okay, isn't it?
It is, but we only have 17 of them. So, if you want to do 17, we can do 17.
Let's go 15.
15. Chemtrails. So... You ever see after a plane goes by and there's like it looks like a long line of a cloud behind the plane?
Yeah, everybody says, "Oh, there's a rocket! It's going to space!"
Yeah, there's a conspiracy theory that people believe that that trail is full of, like, mind-altering chemicals.
How's that a conspiracy? You're just idiots saying a bunch of stupid things.
Well, no, the conspiracy is that the government or the aerospace companies...
They're turning us into zombies.
Right. They're hitting us with these harmful chemicals, and no one... They don't want anyone to know. Also not true. What you actually see behind the plane is not a chemtrail made of chemicals. It is a contrail, and it's called that because it is condensed water. As the plane flies through the air... There is a whole bunch of water vapor, right? That's what makes clouds. So when so clouds are places where the water vapor in the atmosphere gathers together. Enough of it gathers together that it becomes a visible white cloud. So sometimes what happens in the inside the whirling blades of a jet engine, all the air gets sucked together, pushed together, and it comes out the other side. If there's
kind of like a fart.
Yes, just like a fart. If there is enough water vapor in the air, when it comes out the other side, it leaves this long trail. It's not magic. It's not mind control. It's just plain old... plain old water vapor. Farts are not water vapor, which I'm sorry. If only they were. All right, so that does it for chemtrails. Pick another number.
I'm going to go 11, because that was once 11.
Ooh, magnet therapy.
That a magnet attaches to that magnet. Oh, wait, they can't go together.
No, that's just regular magnetism. Oh. So this is like using magnets to heal people. So you'll see people wearing these like little bracelets that have a magnet in them, and supposedly that's supposed to make them feel better or have their health improve. Here's where they came up with this stuff. I know, See, it's interesting that you as a kid, like, you find all of this stuff ridiculous. Most kids, I think, find these ideas ridiculous when you present them to them. And yet somehow grown adults find their way to this stuff and believe it.
It's evolution, man. I mean, we're smart, but them back then, oh, come on.
But there's a lot of people today that believe it still. Anyway, magnetherapy. So here's the idea. There's iron in your blood, right? So somehow the idea is that this magnet... exerts some influence over the iron in your blood, and that somehow increases your health. You would have to prove it. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing with all this stuff. If you can prove it, great. Then it's not pseudoscience anymore. It's actual science. How do you go about proving this stuff? You have to do a proper scientific experiment.
You have to have your variables.
You have to have a variable and a control group. So you can see if the people who are doing the experiment, who are using whatever it is, are turning out any differently than people who aren't using it. So you would have, let's say, a group of people that all have a big enough group of people so you average out for whatever their health issues are. Half the people in the group wear the magnet. The other people in the group are given a fake magnet so they don't know one way or the other which one they have. And you record all of their symptoms and how they report, and if the people with the magnets are actually doing measurably better, then you know there may be an effect. But I'm not aware of any actual valid scientific experiment that's done this. And of course, even if the magnet could work on the iron in your bloodstream, the effect would be very small. The amount of iron in your blood is relatively small, and I'm not sure what effect it would have if it was on your wrist, as blood went through your wrist, it would get pulled slightly closer to the magnet. But your arm is wiggling way more than that tiny amount every second. I mean, you're swinging your arms as you walk. That's going to have a way more powerful effect on the blood in your arm than just having this magnet move it, you know, a tenth of an inch. So, yeah, that's it for the magnet therapy. It does not work, not real. However, magnets are actually used in hospitals all the time for different things. They use it in what's called magnetic resonance imaging.
Take stuff out of you?
No. Like, if you get shot, they don't use a magnet to suck the bullet out.
That would be cool, though.
It would be cool and scary. No, what they use them for, they use magnets to take certain kinds of images of your body. It's, like, special. It's, like, more detailed than an X-ray. They use that for certain things. So. Anyway, but yeah, that's it for magnet therapy. Okay, pick another number.
I was once number 16 in class, so let's go 16.
16, auras. So this is the concept that your body has this energy halo around it that special people can see. Brandon's pretending to hang himself because this is so stupid. So it's this idea that there's this energy halo around you that special people can see, and depending on the color of the halo, that might tell you something about that person.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
People. Now,
but here's the thing. Your body does radiate energy. Your body radiates heat energy, which is visible in the infrared spectrum. So, and of course your body radiates visible light in that light is bouncing off of it. That's how I can see you, but you wouldn't see a halo around you. You might see a little bit of a halo from in the infrared. That's what you would see. But that's not an aura, and it doesn't tell you anything about a person. It would only tell you, at most, what temperature they are.
How about this? You're wearing a green shirt, so you're as green as a plant.
That's right.
You like plants. I just can't explain it.
No? But what happens is people report that... What happens? People start reporting, but I can see it. I swear I can see it. People can convince themselves of all kinds of things. People can also maybe see something and not realize what it is that they're seeing.
Just go see a doctor.
Well, that's... Yeah. I mean, people could report a phenomenon and not understand it. And they might believe they're seeing auras or something, but it could be some other thing that's actually happening to them. So they're not lying and they're not crazy, but they may not have a good explanation. However, just because you see a phenomenon and you can't explain it doesn't mean you get to swap in any explanation you want. What that means is that's when it's time to do an experiment. That's when it's time to take objective measurements and find out what it is you're seeing. Okay, so that does it for auras. Next.
I'm going to be 17 again.
17 is crystal healing. So we did magnets, now we're doing crystals. So people use crystals for all kinds of healing purposes. That different crystals are supposed to have different properties. Now, crystals are just rocks. All they are what crystals are places where molecules of a certain type that are all the same align. So snowflakes, for example, are crystals. And why do snowflakes have that shape? Why does water do that when it gets cold? It's because the hydrogen atoms in water molecules, H2O, right? It's one oxygen atom and two hydrogen atoms. The hydrogen atoms have a little bit of a charge to them. And so when you get two oxygen or water molecules near each other, those hydrogen atoms are slightly attracted to each other. So that happens over and over and over again, and it makes a shape that in this particular instance turns out to be a very pretty shape. Salt crystals, quartz crystals, diamonds, rubies, emeralds, amethysts, all of these crystals that we like form interesting shapes. And human beings, for whatever reason, like shiny objects. We evolved to like things that are interesting. We're curious. So a rock that you can see through that's a pretty color... we like those things, and we want there's an instinct that we want them to be special, but they don't actually have any of these magical properties. If they did, we could just test it. Again, take a large group of people, expose them to this crystal, see if there's actually a measurable effect. If there's not, then it doesn't work. And so far, no evidence that it works. Now, the molecules that make up a crystal might have an effect. Salt has an effect, for example. You break up salt into tiny pieces, you put it on your food, and it tastes good. You eat too much of it, and it's bad for you. So crystals can have certain kinds of effects, but not in the sense that they're used in quote-unquote crystal healing. Taking a topaz rock and putting it on your chest isn't going to cure your heart. It just doesn't work that way. So that's it for crystal healing. Next up.
How about this? I'm going to take it out of your hand, and you have to pick one.
All right. I'm going to pick a number. I'm going to say number four. What's number four?
Four's not on here.
Four is not on there. That's
okay. Four is numerology.
Ooh, numerology. So this is the belief that numbers can have certain powers. Brandon is making a motion that he's stabbing himself. So people believe that there are connections between numbers and, for example, the Bible. So the way this works in the Judeo-Christian Bible is the Old Testament of the Bible is written in Hebrew, ancient Hebrew. In ancient Hebrew, they didn't have a numbering system. They just used their letters as numbers. So if it was English, A would be 1, B would be 2, C would be 3. Okay. So that's how they had numbering. And what people started to try and do is find patterns. So they would say, for example, this word totals up to this number if you add it all together. And that is the same number as this other word in the Bible totals up to. And maybe there's a connection between these two words. And you can start playing these games and finding interesting connections. But that doesn't mean it's actually evidence of something divine. What it means is human beings are really, really good at pattern recognition. Now, why is that? Well, because we've evolved to do that. We've evolved to do that because it's a good survival strategy. If you can recognize patterns, you're going to be able to remember where good food resources are. You're going to be able to remember what things to avoid because they're dangerous. You're going to be able to do a good job of managing your resources and interacting with other humans to get ahead in life and therefore survive. So pattern recognition is really important. Even your dog can recognize patterns, right? You teach your dog to sit. He knows if you command me to sit and I sit, I get a treat. So this pattern recognition thing has been ingrained into our species for a long, long, long time.
Long, long time meaning 102 years?
No, a long, long time meaning this is millions and millions of years of evolution in the making. Wow. It's because if you couldn't recognize a pattern, you'd be more likely to die. that skill is helpful.
I'm supposed to eat food every day.
Well, you don't need to remember to eat food. Well, remembering to eat food may not be the pattern, but finding the right foods.
Yeah.
That's that, and where maybe like, oh, I want pizza. I need pizza. Well, where is the pizza? Well, the pizza is, I remember where the pizza restaurant is to get it.
There's Pizza Hut right there.
Right. So that skill, unfortunately, because we're really good at recognizing patterns, that also means we're really good at seeing patterns where there aren't any patterns to see. We can find them in anything. In fact, yes, you can play this numerology game with the Bible, but you could do it with any book. You could pick up Lord of the Rings and do the same thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't make the Lord of the Rings magical.
Frodo means totally. I mean,
right. Well, Frodo would have a numerical value. And what if Gollum had a numerical value that was half that of Frodo? And that would tell you. So you can play this game forever and ever, but it's not science. Next.
Let's go to number I like the number three.
That's ghosts.
Ooh, luckily we just passed Halloween, so what a perfect thing to cover.
It is Dia de los Muertos today, so.
La, la, la.
So ghosts, we're not afraid of no ghosts. The issue with ghosts is there's lots and lots of ghost stories. Like people report they've seen ghosts.
There's a ghost over there. I need to run.
Well, now you can't tell a person they didn't see a ghost, right? You don't know what they saw. They may very well believe they saw something, but how do you know that what they saw was actually a ghost? How do you know that what they saw wasn't something else that they are mistaken?
Like they're crazy.
A person could be crazy. A person could see something and believe it was a ghost without actually seeing a ghost. They could see, there's all kinds of things you could see and mistake. You know, shadows. You could have, maybe not be crazy, but you could have a physical disease that might result in you. You ever see spots?
Yeah,
right?
I see spots.
Or stars? Like, I mean, there's no stars or spots in front of you, but
you
your brain is.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't.
You don't? Okay.
I do not.
Well, then we should not be making a podcast together, because I do, so we're totally disagreeing here.
Well, we're not disagreeing. The issue, what I'm saying is, I can't say there aren't ghosts. I'm saying science hasn't proven there are ghosts. And that's the thing. You do have to keep an open mind, because I can't tell you there are no such things as ghosts. Mm-hmm. I can tell you no one's proven it yet. And until someone has actually concrete evidence that proves that not only is there, you know, some sort of thing to detect, but that thing is, in fact, a former living person, right? Because you could be detecting something and calling it a ghost, and it could be something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the important part. You have to connect all of the pieces together with evidence. And all these ghost hunters, even if they're detecting something, you still have to prove that they're detecting what was formerly a person. So that's ghosts. Let's do a couple more and call it a day. What else you got?
Do we have number one left?
Yeah, number one's left. That's dowsing. We can do that real quick. You ever see a divining rod? Like this is, you might see it in cartoons. This is a guy with it's a Y-shaped stick. And the guy holds the two ends of the stick, and he closes his eyes, and he walks around, and finally he feels it, and he puts the stick in the ground, and he finds water, right? This is a method of finding water for wells. And the thought was, if you hold this stick, God will work through you. That's why it's called a divining rod, because it's divine. And God will show you where the water is. Now, it's not any more valid. Turns out if you dig in a lot of places, maybe not here where we're in California and it's a desert, but in a lot of places in the world, especially where this started in Europe, Europe's kind of wet and rainy. So if you dig anywhere long enough, you will find water. So this is not obviously a valid method of finding anything. All right, next.
Let's go to number two.
Number two. This is a good one. I think I got this one, and maybe we'll do a couple more. Two is homeopathic medicine. This is essentially people say, oh, you don't want those pharmaceuticals from the big pharmaceutical companies or Western doctors. You can't trust them. Here, take some of this. Well, again, Tim Minchin had a great quote. He said, "There, you know what they call homeopathic medicine that works? Medicine." It just is medicine because it's proven to work. And there's no reason for pharmaceutical companies to keep this stuff secret because they want to make money. So if there's something that actually cures a disease, they want to sell it to you. Now, homeopathic medicine, when you go to get it, they take something and they dilute it way, 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 way down. They water it down to an amazing degree. And they're going to argue with you and say, well, because it's so watered down, that makes it work better. So this would be like, if I want a glass of Kool-Aid, I don't want to put the whole packet of Kool-Aid into the pitcher. I just want 3 grains of Kool-Aid in there and see how sweet that tastes. It doesn't work. Potency is based on dosage. The more they give you, the stronger it works. There is nothing known to science where they give you a tiny amount, and a tiny amount works better than a lot of it. It always has a stronger effect the more they give you. So that one I think is dangerous, because if people believe that, they're going to not go to a regular doctor and get real medicine that might actually help them. So again, if it's proven to work, great, but show me the proof.
Let's go to 10.
10. Psychics. This kind of brings us back to where we started. People who believe they can see the future or maybe communicate telepathically with other people. Again, no proof for this. In fact, look at psychics. If you go to 10 psychics, you're going to get 10 different predictions. Now, if it was valid, wouldn't they all come up with the same thing?
Yeah.
Now, it could be that some of them are bad psychics and one is a good psychic, but how are you ever going to know? And when was the last time you heard about a psychic winning the lottery, right? If you had the power to do it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
All right. I think that'll probably do it for this. There's a few more on here, but we're running out of time, and I do want to get to our mail. We did get a few letters on this, so let's do our listener mail. She wrote upon it, return the sender, address unknown, no such number, no such song.
I don't want to read all this mail.
All right, the first one is from Olivia Q in Melbourne, Australia, so g'day. She writes in and says, should I do it in the Australian accent? If astrology isn't real, that's mean. If astrology isn't real, why do so many people believe in it? Well, it's not, I know what Brandon is, you want to say because people are stupid, right?
Well, I was going to say a lot more meaner stuff, but yeah, let's just say, yeah.
No, this is, the reason people believe in it is something called confirmation bias. That's a fancy way of saying you tend to be more likely to accept things that confirm what you already believe in and reject things that don't. Yeah. So if you read a horoscope and it comes true, you're going to more likely to believe that, in fact, astrology is real, and you're going to forget the other 10 times that you read your horoscope and it didn't turn out to be true at all, right? We all have this. We all have this. It's a fancy way of saying we all see what we want to see and hear what we want to hear. And you have to be careful to not ignore the things that contradict your view. If you're getting a lot of evidence that contradicts what you're believing in, then you have to account for that. For a scientific theory to be valid, it has to work all the time. If you encounter some place where the scientific theory doesn't work, then it means the theory needs to be modified or it needs to be thrown out and retested. But that's okay, because we're on a hunt for the truth. And if something turns out to not be true, you have to be willing to let it go. So, great question. Max S., from San Jose, California, writes, are people allowed to sell medicine if it doesn't work?
If you want to go to jail, go ahead.
Yeah. The answer is, you can sell homeopathic medicine. There's still, the government isn't regulating it. The U.S. government, I should say, where we are, isn't regulating it yet. Now, regular medicine, like you get at a pharmacy or from a doctor or even at the grocery store, those are all regulated by the United States Food and Drug Administration. And they are charged with making sure things are safe before they're sold to the public. So when a big pharmaceutical company wants to sell you a medicine, they're required to go through a very long and very rigorous testing period to ensure that it, in fact, is safe and that the number of side effects are small and only affect very few people. I don't know what the exact standards are off the top of my head, but there are very strict standards that they have to go through. Now, occasionally, a drug turns out goes through the processes and approved and turns out to not be good or safe, and then it's withdrawn. And that happens because the sample size gets large, right? So even when you're a pharmaceutical company, you're doing your test on thousands of people. Well, when you put it out in the field and you test it on millions of people, now you have a bigger sample size. You're going to get more data, and maybe you're going to find out something you wouldn't have seen in the smaller group. So, but that's a great question. So yes, you can sell homeopathic medicine because it's not regulated. But again, you're taking a chance because someone can, if someone gets hurt taking it,
they get sued.
Yeah, you're going to get sued for false advertising. You could get sued for lots of different things. So you can do it, but do it at your own risk. And finally, Ethan B. from Dublin, Ireland, wants to know what our favorite pop culture pseudoscience examples are. So some kind of like science, fake-o science that you see in movies or TV that you
think
is good.
I have like my own that I made up a few days ago that like came to my head.
Sure, go for it.
It's kind of like how human, like who were the first people and how did it all start? I have like a cool little stupid idea on that, and that's like my favorite.
Okay, what's that?
It's that a million years from now, when the world is just about to end, scientists want to, they have time machine. So they put a man and a woman to the day that man and woman are supposed to start, and that goes until that day of scientists. It goes over and over.
Oh, man. There's some places where that shows up in pop culture, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but there's a great book that kind of plays on that idea. Called The Restaurant at the End of the Universe is the sequel to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I gave you for your birthday. So if you get to the second book, they actually talk about that idea. And the other one is Battlestar Galactica, the reboot of Battlestar Galactica, which is awesome, and I think you would love it. So, and that'll do it for this episode of Quarks and Recreation. If you want to help us out, love us, you like our podcast, go to iTunes and subscribe and rate us highly. You can communicate with us at facebook.com/quarksandrec or tweet at us at quarksandrec. You can also go to our website, www.quarksandrec.com, and get more about us there. And stay tuned because our next podcast is on the science of zombies.
Hashtag be random awesome.
Yeah, you're really going to like the zombie one. We just recorded it. We did them out of order, but we hope you like the zombie one.
Hey, remember out of order, please don't do it. You remember this.
Yes.
I get behind the wheel. A fortune.
And if you... Yes, and please subscribe, enjoy it, and we'd love to hear from you. So that'll do it for this episode. Love Take it. Care. Bye.
Bye.